I need everybody on the line to say, Lord, don't do it without me. I'm available. I'm available. Don't do it without me. Come on, look at your neighbor real quick and say, neighbor, whatever God's doing and whoever he's doing it with, don't do it without me. Don't do it, Lord. Don't do it without me. Oh, I don't think you meant that. If I was you, I'd go grab somebody for the message, get started, and tell them I come to praise God because I'm asking him that whatever he's doing, don't do it without me. Whatever. Oh, yes, God. Yes, God. Don't do it without me. Oh, don't do it without me. Quickly, if you can, quickly turn with me to John 4 and 15. We are at the end, I believe. Maybe one more installment of this message called The Well. But I believe we're at the end of our installment. This will probably be, I believe it will be. But I don't know. God can do what he wants to do because I'm his employee. I know many people don't think it like that, but I'm his employee. I'm employed by God. And I like it. I like it. Because I'm not going to be entry level for long. I have a work ethic inside of me that I want to get to the top of his employment. Not for financial gain. I'll let him do it all because I just want to serve him to the best of my ability. Quickly, the word of the Lord says here, and the woman said to him, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast said well, I have no husband. For thou hast five husbands, and him who thou hast is not thy husband. Is that saith thou truly? The woman said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I will stop right there. As she say, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Quick, say your neighbor while you're pulling him down. Said, neighbor, he found me at the well. He found me at the well. See, if I stand at the old church, I can hear a mother say, whoo! They wave their hands. Somebody in the back would just start shaking and jerking because you found me at the well. See, when you love this thing and when you love him, hallelujah, when you love him, when you love him, when you love him, thank you, Jesus. He found me at a well. He found me at a well. The saints at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the days. It was at the cross. He found me at the well. Woo! He found me at the well. I wish I had a praiser or two. He found me at the well. Yay! Found me at the well. Come on, give me just 20 minutes, give me 15, I'll be done. I'm not going to preach very long today. He found me at the well. Found me at the well. Over the last weeks, we have been unpacking this word, the well. Can I tell you that the well experience has 8 prophetic moments? The first prophetic moment is the prophetic encounter, where the Samaritan woman meets Jesus. When she talks to Jesus at the well, it was her prophetic encounter at a divine time for a divine appointment. I'll say it again. It was a prophetic encounter for a divine time for a divine appointment. The Samaritan, and the reason why Jacob's well is so significant to Jesus, that he told his disciple that I must go there. Why? Because there was a series of prophetic events at this prophetic location that has history with God. And Jesus had to get there to stir up the well. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, there's some things in your life. Over the next few days, God's going to get there. Jesus has to come to your house so he can stir up the well. Oh, right there, should have blessed you. Jesus is getting ready. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, over the next few weeks, there is coming a stirring of your well. Matter of fact, just a little while ago when I was praying, I heard the Lord tell me there is going to be like a hurricane pushing the children of God, the people of God, back to church. Because oftentimes when the pandemic happened, a lot of people have fell away, and there is a great falling away. But as so there is a great falling away, there is also a remnant that's being called by God. And this remnant that's being called by God is getting ready to push themselves back in the church. Why? Because they're wanting a well experience. And the experience that God's going to give them is going to be more than what they ever expected, more than what they ever thought that could happen, because our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. I didn't mean to come out like this, but since I'm here, I might as well stay. God is calling a remnant of God's people to come back to the well, because it's at the well where you found God. It's at the well where I first believed. It's at the well. Glory to God. I know it was the cross, but the cross was a well dug deep in my soul. The cross was a well that dug deep in the ground. And God, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I feel like running right here. I didn't mean to come out like this. I didn't mean to start the message like this. I want to start my message real calm, but there's something in my soul that's telling you we're getting ready for the well experience like you've never seen before. You're getting ready for the well experience like you've never heard before. And then somebody is going to tell somebody, I was at the well, and it's at the well where he found me. He found me in my mess. He found me messed up. He found me stressed out. He found me coked up. He found me messed up. Toe up from the flow up. But I know right now that because I'm at the well, there's a prophetic move at the well. There's divine experience at the well. There's divine appointment at the well. There's divine grace at the well. Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm at the well. Tell your neighbor, run down the aisle and tell your neighbor that divine grace at the well, that divine power at the well, divine healing at the well, divine provision at the well, divine substance at the well, divine grace at the well, divine strength at the well. Tell your neighbor, he found me. Oh Lord, oh Lord. Point to say, oh Lord. Woo! You gotta forgive me, I feel a little Baptist. Oh Lord. Ain't he alright? Ain't he alright? Right here, they say, ain't he alright? Ain't he alright? Ain't he alright? Ain't he alright? He found me at the well. He found me messed up. He found me broke down. He found me out of my mind. He found me with no sense, with my crazy self. But he looked over all that. He looked over my thoughts and saw my needs. The song says, I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why he cares. But oh, I'm so glad he sacrificed his life. He found me at the well. I was desperate at the well. I was hungry at the well. I was disappointed at the well. And he found me. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, he found you at the well. He found me at the well. He found me at the well. He found me at the well. Oh, I don't know why I'm sitting here, but he found me at the well. He found me at the well. He found me at the well. You ought to go run to your neighbor and say, neighbor, anything you need at the well. Everything you need at the well. Everything you need at the well. He found me at the well. If I was you, I'd run down the aisle and tell my neighbor, neighbor, he found me at the well. He found me at the well. He found me at the well. He found me. He found me at the well. If you read your Bible, you should have come across God saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. These are three distinctive individuals from the same bloodline, but not the same person. For each individual had their own experiences with God, but the covenant God made was with their father. Notice this, each individuals had their own experiences with God. Different people, same bloodline, but God gave the promise to Abraham, and his sons would live up under the umbrella of that promise. But it's interesting to think about, how God oftentimes says this a lot in Scripture. Because it was Abraham who built the well first. The first time we seen a well, it was Hagar, Sarah's maid, who Abraham had planted seed in. So when Hagar was running away from Abraham, from Sarah, she had already conceived Ishmael. But notice the grace of God, grace at the well, divine grace, prophetic grace at the well. Because even though Ishmael was half covenant, God still, Lord, you just bless me. Ishmael was half covenant. He was not of Abraham's lineage. He was not Abraham's wife. Sarah was. And God gave the promise to Isaac. But because Ishmael was Abraham's son, he got half. Oh my God. He was still under the same covenant. Oh, I hope that this will bless you here. It's interesting to know that God said, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But the funny part is that Abraham had eight different sons. So can I tell you that should encourage you? That God chooses who he wants. He needs to fulfill his plans. He will sift through the clutter. He'll mark you. He'll put his hands on you and on you. He will say something to you that no man can say. Oh, my God. He will say something to you that no man can say, that nobody can understand. That's why what I've come to understand is the election of God is that no matter who does not agree with you, when it comes to the election of God, because Abraham had eight more sons, but when it came to the election, but why did God just choose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And all three had well experiences, but Abraham had eight other sons. Can I encourage you and tell you that it doesn't matter what people say about you, but when God put his hands on you, he will say something to you that no man can say to you. What I have come to understand about this election of God is that it doesn't matter if no one agrees with you. They cannot stop the series of events that will acknowledge God's election. Woo! It doesn't matter what no man says about you. They cannot stop the series of events that God says about God's election. God will take hold of your destiny, shape it with his hands, breathe on it, and honor it for his credit and give God his glory. So here we find these three different men. And why would God said it 12 different times on 12 different occasions. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He kept saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God. He kept saying it to them. Why? Because God was doing something great. And when I begin to do the research under Scripture, there is something that is significant about all three men. They all married wives who were barren. Abraham married Sarah, could not have kids. Isaac married Rebekah, could not have kids. Jacob married Rachel, could not have kids. Could not have kids. They were barren. But God gave a promise to Abraham that I'm going to bless your seed, and through your seed, all of the earth shall be blessed. But God, how can you give us such a contradiction? Because none of my wives, neither my son's wife, neither my other son's wife, they can have kids. God, what? But your promise says that my kids shall inherit, my generation shall inherit. I shall do this for you. We should be as numbered as the stars. But how can we be as numbered as to the stars if we do not have children? What a contradiction. What a contradiction that God would promise you something that seems impossible. Can I tell you that, my brothers and sisters? That God will promise you something that seems, preach, pastor, I believe I will, that God will promise you something that seems impossible. And it seems as though all things point to the opposite direction. But when God has made his election for you, oh my God, there will be a well experience. And so here are all these men. They could not have children. But God's covenant was so strong upon Abraham's life his covenant was so strong on Abraham's life that even if he could not have kids, somewhere or another, God will find a way to make it come to pass. The covenant of God was so powerful through scripture that when I researched the covenant of God, God told Abraham this. He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless your seed. I'm going to bless you, and you will be a blessing to many nations. And then he said to Abraham, I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you land. And I'm going to help you have. I'm going to make sure that what you need, I'm going to help. I'm going to ingratiate your generation. Not just your children's children, but what you generate. I'm going to ingratiate that. They married women that was all barren. Barren says this. Barren says they cannot produce offspring. Incapable of producing offspring, sterile, unproductive, unfruitfulness, all facing the dilemma of a dying promise. They all married women. Look at this. God told Abraham, I'm going to create for you a nation that's going to bless nations. But here are their children. Could not marry all of them. The father married a woman could not have kids. Jacob married, could not have kids. Isaac could not have kids. What a contradiction. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, sometime in your life, you got to say, oh, this is only a contradiction. Sometime in your life, you got to say, you know what? As long as I stay around the well, things are going to happen. But notice, there's something all three men did. Even though they could not have kids, they all hung around the well. They all dug wells. Because God told, I'm going to bless you. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, you got to start digging a well in the midst of contradiction. In the midst of when it says it doesn't look like it. In the midst of when it says, oh, everything, all the signs are pointing the opposite way. All this, but I got a word from the Lord. My brothers and sisters, when you get a word from the Lord, obstacles will come in your way. Barrenness will come in your way. Unproductiveness will come in your way. And all the word, that word incapable starts to seep in when you get a word from the Lord, because your circumstances will make it seem as though everything is a contradiction. But can I tell you about God? I got some good news from God. But what God will do is use your contradiction to teach you a revelation about God. What he would do is say, okay, I know you're sick, but since I'm Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee, I'm going to help, you're going to get sick, and I'm going to show you how I can deliver. What God does is taking a revelation to teach you about himself. Because things about God are not just taught, they are revealed. God said, the things about God are just not taught to you, they are revealed. My grandmother used to say something to me. She said, son, I cannot teach you nothing because I'm not qualified to be a teacher. But what I can do is I can learn you a whole lot of stuff, because learning from me is going to be taught with love. I can't teach you with love. I can learn you with love. Have anybody had a grandmama that says, no, baby, sit out here and let me learn you something? See, I'm from the country. I'm from the country, and I like standing up. My wife made a joke that she said, "Oh, I can't take you nowhere." No, you can't. You can take me everywhere. She said, she made a joke because we were at this party and they had some nacho cheese dip. And I thought there was cheese greens. And they wasn't cheese greens, they were spinach dip. And I kept saying, "Y'all, where you get these cheese greens from?" And my wife said, "Oh, I can't take that country person nowhere." I thought they was cheese greens, but they were spinach dip. But even though that was still a contradiction, because even though I did not know what it was, it did not stop me from enjoying what they had. Because anytime there's a contradiction on my life, I know that God's getting ready to move me to that area. When it seems as though it be saying no, God has a yes in his mouth for you. Tell your neighbor, God has a yes in his mouth for you. So here we find the dilemma of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And how they were getting ready to, and God says, "How can God, I'm gonna bless your whole generation?" Let's fast forward. Here is the lady at the well. She's at the well, and she has had 6 husbands and no children either. And she was coming to the well. But this time she came to the well, she did not expect to meet a prophet. And when she met the prophet asked her, he says, "Sister, where is your husband?" She said, "Oh, I don't have any." And then he began to prophesy to her. He began to give her a word of knowledge. Because the difference between being prophecy and a word of knowledge. Prophecy is, "I'm coming to confirm on your life." A word of knowledge is that "I'm going to open a door of which you don't think I should have ever known." Now I'll say it again. A word of knowledge is that "I'm going to open a door, an insight to you that you've never known, that you see, that God has shown me about you." Prophecy is confirming. So Jesus began to open himself up and tell her, "Oh, I know that you don't have a husband." And notice he says this. The Bible says, he says, "And your 6 husbands," can I break it down? "And your 6 coverings before now. And the one you with," he said, "you got 5 and the one you with right now cannot cover you. You got 5 and one you with now and you still barren. You got 5 and the one you with now cannot help you." But Jesus said, "But at this moment, since you're at the well, I come to find you." And when Jesus laid that, this is interesting about it. Jesus told the lady at the well, he says, "You know what? And your 6 husbands, your 6 dispensations before me, your 6 dispensations before me cannot help you produce anything which you're lacking." You had 6 of them. You have 5, another one you with. Cannot do any. They cannot cover you. They cannot help you. They cannot move you. They cannot help you produce because they are sterile and you are barren. When you hook up with the wrong people, they will sterilize. They will sterilize your destiny and your purpose. When you align with the wrong people, they will cause hiccups, hindrances, all in your life, and you will never be productive hooking up with the wrong people. You will never be productive with the wrong connection. You will never be fruitful with the wrong connection. And so I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you need to get somewhere around a well, around someone that's deep, around something that has living water, that has something. And so when the lady with it, so here the Samaritan woman is. Here's where the woman is. And she noticed that this is what I like. She was half Jew, half Gentile. She wasn't even a part of the covenant. Like Ishmael wasn't. But because God gave a word to Abraham that "I'm going to bless your seed, and through this nation, all nations be blessed." So when the lady with the Samaritan woman met Jesus, what just happened? I'm done. I'm finished. When Samaritan woman met Jesus, what happened to her is simple. The word of God that operated in the well 1,000 years prior, 1,000 years prior, came alive when Jesus got on top of the well. And she became, because Jesus comes to make all things new. He said, follow me. He'll make all things new. He reached in her life and he just spoke a word, follow me. And what she did, her excitement was so great that she became the first evangelist, the first preacher that wasn't of that house. She was half covenant. What are you and me? We are Gentiles, half covenant. And we have the right, because we have to lay at the well and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, to now be joint heirs with him. He made the Samaritan woman, when he said, follow me, he made her joint heirs. You and I are joint heirs because he found us at the well. It's just, my brothers and sisters, can I tell you something? Yes, I preached earlier, so I'm okay now. He's finding you at the well. He's finding you at your places and your spaces that he needs to occupy. And some of your spaces are connected with sterile entities who want to break you down, who wants to keep you from experiencing the will of God. You know something? When I asked God about miracles, signs, and wonders, he told me something very interesting. He says, they're here, and he's doing them every single day. They're here, and he's doing them every single day. But we have to get back to the well. He says, come everyone who is thirsty. Drink from a well that won't run dry. Come get the water that is flowing. Drink and you will be satisfied. He said, drink and you will be satisfied. Come taste the water that is living. Drink and you will be satisfied. Come taste the water that is living. Drink and you will.